Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everyone. This is Carl Shinneman from Juranov. Welcome to another edition of ESI Bytes, a show where we try to present trends and ideas in electronic discovery from thought leaders from around the country at a price everyone can afford, which is free, and with the added benefit at the time when you have time to listen to it and maybe the problems facing you. So those are the goals of ESI Bytes. Today I'm real happy to have Laura Bandrowski on the show with us. Laura is Practice Support Director at Duane Morris, a large national Philadelphia-based law firm. She provides in-house consulting services. She's been in the field for 25 years in the technology side, supporting lawyers in complex cases. She's been a member of the Sedona Conference working group, as have many of the speakers on the show, on electronic document retention and production. Laura, thank you for joining the show and talking about, you know, why lawyers find e-discovery so challenging.
And, thanks, Carl. I really appreciate you having me and giving me the opportunity to speak to folks about this.
Great. So first, before we jump into the topic, I always like to, you know, I've said a little bit about your background, but you know it better than I do. Tell me a little bit about how you got interested in electronically stored information and e-discovery.
Well, it's sort of an interesting story and sort of an embarrassing story, but more than 20 years ago, I was working at a law firm as a case manager on a large, complex class action. And one summer, I hired my college freshman son to help me organize the boxes. He walked into this huge box-filled room and said, hey, Mom, don't you think it would be easier to find the good documents if you index them first in a database? And the light bulb went off, and he taught me how to write my first FoxPro database. Then as I began to use databases for every big case that I was managing, I realized that if I had important information in electronic form, companies did too, and that it was probably discoverable. So my interest and involvement in the electronic industry, electronic discovery industry grew from there.
Okay, now let's talk about your theories on why lawyers are generally challenged in learning ESI concepts and working in electronic discovery.
Well, I've given this a great deal of thought, I suspect as many of my colleagues have. In fact, a big part of my day is spent explaining technology to lawyers in an effort to provide them with enough support to get comfortable with it. And while you would think otherwise, even young lawyers are challenged by this. I think part of the answer lies in language. Lawyers are professional wordsmiths. They craft a fine phrase, and technologists are acronym maniacs, so communication between the two of them is very difficult. Techies and lawyers also conceptualize differently. I once said to a techie in our firm, if you ask a lawyer what the sun is, they will promptly respond, the sun is a star. If you ask a techie the same question, they'll answer, the sun is in the sky, it provides light and warmth. So you see, lawyers provide definitions, generally, and techies provide functional descriptions. No wonder people are having a hard time. And many lawyers, while brilliant in their own right in history, language, and law, admit that the sciences are not their strong points nor their favorite areas. Adding to this discomfort is the fact that the lawyers are being forced to learn something new that they didn't want to know about in the first place. Electronic discovery management requires an understanding of the science of computers. The next area posing its own set of challenges is the intrusion of electronic discovery management into the attorney-client relationship. Developing and maintaining client relationships can at times be very difficult for lawyers for obvious reasons. Generally, it's an unpleasant situation that clients are faced with when they reach out to a lawyer. Electronic discovery management adds exponentially greater cost to every matter, so that's another issue that's added to the mix. And finally, electronic discovery management changes the way lawyers work.
Yeah, you know, actually, and sometimes it does, but also sometimes it doesn't. I did a recent show with Sherry Harris on collecting data, and one of the examples she pointed out was lawyers that you know she was working with charging off and doing things the way they thought should be done without calling her, And she got involved and turned a project around by really focusing the project on the right custodians instead of throwing everything into a big box and hitting search.
Right.
And
right.
It's a challenge, isn't it? Also, even there are a lot of good people in this field, but sometimes they're not reached out to.
That's what, correct.
Why do you think lawyers sometimes do that? I mean,
I think that. There is a hesitation to reach out for help because lawyers are generally experts in their own field. And it's very uncomfortable for anyone who is already an expert in one thing to admit that they're not an expert in something else. And it's human nature not to want to feel stupid about something. So I think there is just that natural human tendency to avoid something that we don't understand.
Yeah. Are there any training issues here that impact this challenge that you see?
Well, just following up on what we were just talking about, you know, a funny thing happens to people who are faced with concepts that are outside their comfort zone, and particularly people who are an expert in something else already. Blinders go up, and it's difficult to learn something new. But that's not the most difficult challenge here. The most difficult challenge here is that in order to make decisions about electronic discovery management, you have to know not only the science of computers and data storage, but you have to know the implications of systems, applications, and file settings. This elevates the knowledge requirement to a whole new level. For example, while it's all well and good to understand that emails are stored on a server, one has to know in an electronic discovery context how that email has been stored, what the email server settings are, whether the client's IT department permit local storage of email archive files, whether there are automatic purging routines, whether the emails are backed up. And even then, when you get the answers to those questions, generally more questions are raised, and this is only for email.
So this is there's really a lot of complexity beyond anything related to law here. It's
exactly
a new field.
Right.
It's a different field.
That's exactly right. And the technology management of ESI can contain implications to the legal strategies in the case that you cannot separate the two.
Hmm. This goes in an area I've written quite a bit about, project management, of getting it multiple talented people talking to each other on projects, and I think that's also probably in the mix as a challenge.
I think that's right, and I think that in the coming days and years and months that we're going to see lawyers becoming more comfortable reaching out to technologists and partnering not only with technologists in their own firms or perhaps vendors that they've selected to use for managing a case. They're going to also be reaching out to the technologists or the IT specialists within the client's environment, along with the general counsel, so that all of those folks can get together. And then, of course, we can't forget the records management people and the compliance officers, because those are the folks that have a lot of information about what information is available, whether it's an electronic format or hard copy format.
Well, moving beyond lawyers, since we've now opened the mix up to other people, do technologists have training issues in this field, or if you're a technologist, can you walk right in and function?
Well, that's a very good question, and the answer is that the level of technical knowledge needed for electronic discovery management is much broader than you would generally need to work in an IT department, because you need to understand network administration, email administration, retention policies, PC, PDA, web, archival technologies, and more. And this is broader technical knowledge than technologists generally possess, because each of these areas are highly specialized. And in fact, some of them even have their own degree programs. So you really have to have this overarching knowledge and understanding of systems and technology, and then technologists have to start learning about the implications of that technology to the legal issues in the case.
Sounds like the functionality and the definitions have to get closer to each other that you mentioned in the beginning.
Right. Right.
Well, you mentioned cost as one of the challenges facing lawyers within the field. What do you mean by that right now? I mean, obviously, it's a bad economy. Is that one of the things driving things?
Well, that is one of the things driving things. It's certainly a factor, but the real issue is that discovery costs used to be measured in five or six figures for even, you know, pretty high damage cases, and this is now being measured in six figures or seven. And the lawyer has to explain to the client not only the difficult issues in the case, troubling fact patterns, providing hard recommendations to the client on what they need to do, they also have to explain to the client the significant costs for acquisition, for processing, for review, and finally production of ESI. And then there's significant business interruption as electronic discovery is identified, preserved, and collected at the client site. So this is an unpleasant reality in litigation, and it's an unavoidable discussion with the client. Now, litigation support professionals have been privy to some of these discussions, and I've seen this pain firsthand. Imagine being on a phone call with a client who has a very small matter to be disposed of, maybe a wrongful discharge or something like that, that has very small damages, and then having to tell the client that the discovery costs alone could exceed $25,000. That's a bad situation to be in.
Yes, for both sides.
Exactly.
Except perhaps the person suing.
Right.
But actually there was there was a good point on that we had Judge Shinlin on and Ralph Losey on law students and we're talking about on law school curriculums the pain points about, you know, complying with discovery, and Ralph was talking about proportionality, and
right.
there was a real difference of opinion there about obligations under the federal rules, and, you know, it's an interesting challenge.
It is an interesting challenge, and it's complicated by the requirements of the federal rules and the disparate treatment of ESI at the state level. So if you're a lawyer, you have a number of challenges that, you know, that we talked about earlier in this conversation, but we also have the challenges of understanding how the law is different in different jurisdictions.
Well, do you see any movements underway to reduce the cost of electronic discovery?
Well, I am an optimist by nature, and I believe that continuing improvement in technology, along with an increased understanding of the lawyers' challenges by litigation support professionals who can translate all this, will begin to help lawyers in the future. Some of the technology that is just improving will provide lower costs to reduce the amount of ESI that must be reviewed. There'll be more integration of litigation support tools to manage ESI from early case assessment all the way to presentation at trial. And there will be better ESI retention, management, and organization by our clients to reduce the amount of data stored and thus reducing the amount to be collected, processed, and reviewed.
Okay. Last, do you see any solutions out there to get lawyers better trained in this field?
I think that the sweeping changes in our society's use of technology and managing information and for communication has impacted the legal community in ways that were anticipated. What was harder to anticipate were the implications of the changes. And while the amended rules and recent case decisions provide some guidance, they do not help lawyers in these sea changes in language, communication, relationship management, cost, and case management. You know, there are plenty of CLE classes offered and lots of information and articles, information on the internet and blogs and such, and guidance in evolving case law. Unfortunately, lawyers don't often have time to take advantage of these offerings until they have the issues before them. I think one of the things that we really have to work hard on and focus on in hopefully the very near future is to provide ESI management and compliance study courses at the law school level to get the next generation of lawyers ready for these challenges. And you know what, Carl? Just this morning, I'm trying to figure out how to ensure that I get a complete data collection from a virtual machine. So every day brings new challenges.
You know, one of the ideas I was thinking about, just sort of brainstorming here a little bit on that last point, was reaching out to the 180 law schools and basically asking them to, if they teach this, I'll link it to the site that these are the law schools that offer courses in e-discovery, which makes it easier if you want to recruit that talent to know where to focus.
Right, right. And, you know, Sedona has recently published a textbook, Case and Materials, Electronic Discovery and Digital Evidence, through West, which is really excellent. And I know that a number of folks at Sedona are working very hard to move this forward.
Well, this has been fascinating. I've enjoyed talking to you about some of these challenges facing lawyers in the field of e-discovery. So appreciate having you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And, you know, hopefully we'll do more shows together on other topics. You've been listening to another edition of ESI Bytes. You know, our theory here is you should come to esibytes.com before ESI bites you back. And if you want to see a full library of podcasts, you could go to www.esibytes.com and listen to other podcasts just like this one. Thanks a lot, everyone, and have a nice day.